Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me, as usual, in the studio today is my co-host and friend in the ministry, Dr. Les Olala, who also happens to be the chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. I've had the opportunity, Doc, of serving with you here on the administrative team at Northland and also as the pastor of Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And I wanted maybe today to introduce a series of programs that address an issue that is of interest to me. And maybe the best way for me to introduce this for our listeners is by making an observation and asking you a question in terms of why you think this is so. But in the best of our churches, there does seem to be a spirit in certain segments of that church that doesn't match the spirit that you see in the New Testament. There seems to be almost a carnality among our people. And I'm not even sure I know how to pinpoint all of that. But, I mean, are you sensing that as you go out and about? Are you feeling that as you interact with churches?
Well, I believe that it is a given that if Satan is going to pull our power plug, he is going to use the avenue of carnality mm-hmm. among believers, because you have the spiritual believer, the carnal believer, and then there's the natural person.
Well, let's stop there, because there's a lot of people out there today that have bought the idea that there isn't such a thing as a carnal Christian.
Well, I mean, you would have to completely eliminate some of the terms that Paul used in describing believers. How can you not accept the fact that there are carnal people? We know we're saved by grace.
Right.
We know that we
right.
are sealed by the Holy Spirit,
right.
been chosen by the Father to the praise of His glory,
right.
redeemed by the Son to the praise of His glory, sealed by the Holy Spirit to the praise of His glory. That's a given. But then when Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are to labor to be pleasing to Him, what was he talking about there? He was talking about the walk after our salvation,
yeah.
and it's possible for a person to walk in carnality.
The fact that Paul makes a command that we're to walk pleasing to Him implies that we can walk in ways that are not pleasing.
Yes, right.
And that's really, is that how you would see, or is that a simple layman's definition for carnality?
Best use of carnality, I think, is how Paul describes it, where we would consider carnality generally as standards.
Right.
That is, make sure that women are modest and make sure that, which is obviously a part of that, because we're commanded to be modest, and we are commanded to be holy, and we are commanded to abstain from the things of the flesh. But what Paul's burden was, particularly to the Corinthian saint, was the division among them.
Mm-hmm.
That was Paul's concern about their carnality. And the Corinthian church did not manifest a spirit that was consistent with oneness in Christ.
Right.
That was a burden that Paul had.
I mean, you can go to 1 Corinthians 1 and see all those divisions. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and some pious ones even, I am of Christ.
Right. And he said, in fact, in chapter 1 and verse 10, oh, I beseech you, that is, he said, I'm exhorting you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that ye speak the same thing, mm-hmm. that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined. That's an interesting term there,
yeah.
perfectly joined, the Greek word. They're dealing with repair and mend. It's like you're sewn together.
Yeah.
You've been sewed together. And in the same mind, that is, in the same feeling, and in the same judgment. So you're unified in this. For it has been declared unto me of you, brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you, literally wranglings.
Yeah.
Now you go to chapter 3, and Paul expands on this. Verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. That is, characterized by spirituality. He said, I wish I could speak to you yeah. as being characterized by spirituality. And the Greek ending on it states that, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now he is talking about, in verse 1, he's talking about them being fleshy. The Greek word there is sarkinos.
Right.
Paul understood that. They were new Christians. They were still fleshy.
That was still being what they were characterized by.
They were characterized by. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were unable to bear it. Neither yet are ye now able. Paul says, this is inexcusable, for ye are yet carnal. Note this. What is Paul addressing here? For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? No, it's not sarkinos here, it's sarkikos. you are now characterized by fleshly things,
yeah.
i.e. divisions.
When you see these things showing up in a person's life or in a person's relationships, what do we say there? Envying and strife and divisions. There is a spirit of carnality that is characterizing this person.
Yeah, early on, Paul was saying, you can't help it. You're sarkinos.
Right.
You're fleshy. But he gets down here and says, you can help this. You have now become characterized by fleshly things.
And it's inexcusable.
It's inexcusable because now the spirit sins begin to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul's appeal in verse 9, for we are laborers together with him. And if we were to title this broadcast or maybe the series, the next three, we would call it laborers together.
Laborers together.
The sun ergoi, Paul is saying we are workers together.
Yeah.
And I'd like us to look at this whole concept of laboring together. What is true and what is characteristic?
And that's such a crucial part of not just a church life, but it's really a crucial part of family life.
Absolutely, because it starts again with the individual heart, mm-hmm. and then it manifests itself out from there. And when there is an absence of the fruit of the Spirit, then these other fleshly things
begin to manifest.
And a lot of times we will harp on carnality that is standard and harp on carnality that is obvious external sin, but we eliminate the fact that we address spirit sin. 2 Corinthians 7 mm-hmm. and verse 1, Paul says that he wanted to deal with the sins of the flesh and of the spirit. Somehow or another, we justify spirit sins as not being carnality.
Now, I think I know what you mean by spirit sins, Doc, but can you give our listeners maybe a rundown on what some of those would be?
Well, I believe that's going to be in the second leg of this broadcast because we're going to find out what are the particular listings of spirit sins that are characteristic.
So what's the first thing we need to come to grips with if we're going to be an appropriate laborer together?
Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, for our laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. We note, first of all, laborers, that's a function.
Mm-hmm.
That is, as believers, we're in common union.
Okay.
So that's a given. There's no way you are not going to be my brother in Christ. You and I are brothers in Christ because we are in union with him. We have a common cause.
Okay.
So if I look at my function, I would ask you, you're pastoring. What is the reason you're pastoring? And you would give a testimony as to what God has done and how God has put you in that place. Why are you in ministry teaching? And you would have a very clear reason. Then you define your role. What is your role in that function? There's a reason you're in the function. What is your role? Well, I teach, I counsel, I pastor. What are your particular responsibilities? Then you would enumerate your responsibilities as you would go down. We used to go through the Ford tours. Many of you remember maybe going through Dearborn Assembly Plant. Ford used to pick you up on a bus at their world headquarters, take you to the assembly plant, take you, first of all, into the steel place where they were making steel, rolling, stamping the bodies. Then they would take you over to the assembly line. You could have one person putting on a front wheel, another person putting on a back wheel, one a solid, spirit-filled Christian, another one an atheist. But they were in union to get a common cause, to get a car running off the end of that line. So therefore, there was a reason for them there, the role they had, and what was their responsibility.
And that's, in essence, what we're talking about here. In any set of circumstances where we find ourselves as a Christian engaged in ministry, whether it's a husband or a wife trying to be what they should be in that marriage, or whether it's a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, what you're saying is that the first thing that has to happen, we have to understand that there is a union that we're a part of.
Yeah, we're laborers. And so you and I are God's children. We're in God's family. We have a God-given common cause. We are in union. But the thing, we are laborers, the second word is together. Union does not presuppose unity. We tell this at weddings. We tell this in couples conferences.
Right. That's right.
You can take a dog and a cat, tie their tails together. You have formed a union, but that does not presuppose unity.
Yeah.
And sadly, a lot of believers are in union in Christ, but they are not in unity, because where one is a function, the other is fellowship. We are laborers together with him.
So the function then is the laborer's part.
Yes, that's in union, because we have a reason, we have a role, we have responsibility in that role as believers. You can have people functioning in church song leading, singing, teaching, preaching, and yet in that same body of believers, no fellowship.
Yeah, and that's where I wanted...
Because there's a lacking of unity.
That's where I wanted to get to, because we all have a responsibility, and a lot of times we know. I mean, the nursery worker knows that they're showing up on Sunday morning, and the reason they're there and the role they're there and the responsibility they play is clear. The deacon, the usher, the greeter, the pastor, like you're saying, the song leader. What you're telling me, if I understand you correctly, is it is possible to know all of these things, to be in this union doing this task, but not have the sweetness and the fellowship of unity.
Right. We lack the unity. And there is a difference between union and unity. I would like us now to look in Galatians chapter 5, because you were talking about what are some of these, and we'll get as far as we can in this broadcast on this. But Galatians chapter 5, to me, gives a clear appeal for unity within the body.
Right.
And we're not talking compromise here. We're not talking about a false love and a false unity where you bring false doctrines together with true doctrine, and you get we're talking about those who believe the same thing and have the same foundations and the same footings that are there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. If ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now we're getting into the categories.
Yep, that we talked about
you
earlier.
You have, number one, you have rank sins listed here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I put them as rank sins. Then you have religious sins, idolatry and witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Those that displace God as number one, and he has replaced in our heart by something else. And then the third listing is the relationship sins. And that's what we'd like to get into in the next broadcast.
Well, Doc, we're out of time this broadcast, but we're looking forward to really jumping into this fellowship aspect and to discover these relational sins. For those of you listening today, I hope that this broadcast has piqued your interest as it has mine. We would love to hear from you. The contact information will be given here briefly at the end of the broadcast. For a gift of $10 or more toward the Word for Life radio broadcast, as a token of our appreciation, we would send you for this month a copy of Dr. Olala's little booklet entitled Developing a Biblical Worldview. Until the next broadcast, we'll look forward to being together with you.